want to welcome. It's good to have Pastor Renee here. Amen. Here to witness the installation of his daughter and son-in-law becoming our youth leaders. Amen. They're in charge of our youth now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know you want them all the time to be hanging out over there in Deming, but now they're here, man. They're really here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, very special people here today for the very first time. And that excites me. Amen. I sure hope I can meet you. I hope you don't have to rush off too fast after service so I can meet you. But it's good to have Heidi, Bunny, Cynthia, and Isaac here for the very first time at Victory Outreach Church of Albuquerque. Amen. Man, it's good to have you here. I hope that you'll fall in love with what God is doing here at Victory Outreach and you'll come back. And you'll make this your home church. Also good to see Brother Porky back. Amen. I know he works out of town. He can only be here once in a while. And it's good to have you home, man. It's really good to have you home. He's here for a couple of weeks. And it's exciting. We're in exciting times for Victory Outreach. Amen. The ministry is a very exciting time. And Matthew chapter 9 is a very powerful, powerful chapter. But these certain verses, Jesus really dedicated to the future. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38. We'll just remain standing for just another moment, and then I'll let you be seated. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through verse 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great." Your Bible might say plentiful. It says, "But the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Once again, Father, move by your Spirit today, Father, as your word is preached in Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated. You see, the need is great around the world. The need is great right on your block where you live at. The need is great in Rio Rancho and Belen and Las Lunas and on the East Mountains, in Gallup and Grants. It's the need is great in Santa Fe and throughout our city, Hobbs and Roswell and all these cities here. But then as you begin to look beyond our state and look at our nation, the craziness of our nation is sick. Our nation needs help, man. It's hurting. There's the addicted, the lost. Hollywood is lost. Every time you turn around, there's something going on. And then if you look beyond our nation, if you look into all of North America, if you begin to look into Mexico, begin to look into Central America and South America, my heart still bleeds to go down into Argentina one day soon, because I know the needs are great there. I know the drug addiction is rampant there in Argentina and Chile and all those areas. Peru and places where we're not at. There are still countries around the world, countries in Russia, countries in Asia that need a Victory Outreach kind of ministry, a Victory Outreach church that will be radical in its faith and radical to be able to go where no man wants to go. Now, there's a lot of missionaries and a lot of churches and a lot of great churches that have mission-minded churches. But I want you to know right now that God, we have a targeted area that we focus on, that we have expertise in. And that targeted area is that we go into the most roughest, hardcore areas of our city, of the whatever city we're at, whether it be Panama, whether it be in Africa or any in Mexico. Wherever we go, we target the most craziest areas of that place. You can go on a Friday night here and find our team out there on a Friday night at the motel rooms, knocking on the doors, walking in, not praying for the prostitutes and leading the pimps to the Lord. You can find our evangelistic teams talking to drug addicts and gang members, but you can also find them talking to bankers and attorneys. You see, what you've seen here today in our church is a tremendous visual, a tremendous example, and a model, if you will, of what we're all about as a ministry. We're not just here to as a Bless Me Club. We're not just here to come and get a little word. Now listen, I want you to get a word, and I want you to live your life all week and come back ready Wednesday or Sunday and be ready to learn more. And we're going to we feel committed to doing that, to leading our church and helping our church to grow spiritually, you know, and one-on-one and through discipleship and families and marriage and all that. We want to do that. That's part of our mission as a local church, but we're not just a local church. Have you noticed that we have a greater vision beyond just Albuquerque? Our vision, it reaches to the far ends of the world. We don't just dress up like that for nothing. We don't just sing those songs for nothing. We don't just give our United We Can dollars just for nothing. We give it because we see the need around the world. We know the harvest is ready. We know that the harvest is ready everywhere. And you see the transferring of the guard. That means that opens up a new door. That gives more experience to the next person. That gives you hope to say, you know what? What about me? I feel called one day. You may be here and you might say, how in the world, man, how in the world am I ever going to get raised up? But I'll tell you right now, there was a day 4 or 5 years ago when Devin walked through the doors of the church. I remember at Land when he walked and they introduced me to him. This is Devin. I thought to myself, this is a good looking young kid right here. That Poncho, I don't know about, but he's a good looking kid. And look at him today. He's our youth leader now. What does that tell you? David Nickel, he was in the home, a drug addict. But he's our director now. And Pastor Charles, you know, at one time he was a dope fiend, a gang member, prison inmate. Man, look at him now. He's been the music of minister over our music for a number of years. Why? Because there's always room for God to raise up a man or a woman. Amen. Just to see what God is doing. So the transferring of the guard today shows you that we're a progressive ministry. We're not just a ministry that stays the same year after year after year, month after month. No, we want to progress. There's always an opportunity for somebody. But then you also see the life flow up here. You see all these people, 30-some people that were committed to graduate. How many believe that our next class, we can see maybe 50 or 60 people graduate on the stage? That'll only happen if you sign up today. If you register today. There's no cost, but you got to register. We need you on a piece of paper to let you know so we can keep track. We can track you to see that you are attending these classes. Amen? So we hope and pray that you will join it tonight. But just seeing that up here shows you that we mean business about discipling leaders for the future. We mean business about raising up workers to see the needs met in our city, in our region as a base, and also worldwide. Come on, somebody. So we see the from generation to generation. We see the pioneer generation, the very first pioneers. My parents were part of that pioneering generation 32 years ago. 50 years ago when Pastor Sonny started the ministry, all those from the 50 years, 40 years, 30 years ago, that's a pioneering generation. And then God raised up a Joshua generation, a bunch of Joshuas. A bunch of men and women that said, you know what, I'll go into wherever, send me out. And you know, we used to send out churches. If somebody said they liked the city, we said, really? We'd sleep on it, pray on it, and then we'd just anoint them and send them out. That's how we did. Now we, you know, go to Bible school, get some word in you. You know? Yeah, man, I want to let you know I was a heroin addict. I was a crack fiend. I was all messed up, and God changed my life. And I said, woo, that guy sounds like a preacher. 2 years later, he'd be in a city someplace. Now, we got to get back to that radical kind of faith, but we're a little more preparing now because we started replacing too many churches, too many pastors. Hello, somebody. And we need to grow. The way we grow is through faith. Then all of a sudden, God began to raise up young people. About 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when the gang started to come on the rise, all of a sudden we started looking towards this next generation and said, listen, if we're going to have a long-lasting ministry, if God is going to, if the Lord tarries, if Jesus don't come back right now, we need to be about our Father's business. And I'll tell you something right now, the gang is on fire around the world. What I see with God doing, I saw it in Mexico. You see it all in Cuba. You see the island of Cuba, man, God's raised. You know, we have 700 people in the church in Cuba. It's a communist country. Yet God is doing something miraculous in the country of Cuba. Yes, even though they're communists, God is raising up a church. The pastor, Pastor Abel, is doing a work for God. He's got the vision. He got 700 people, and many of those are young people. Many of those God is raising up. You know that they're building a building from the ground up. And we got a regional pledge. We'll talk about that next month. We got a regional pledge to help them build that building. And I told Bar, I said, I want to help them build that building, and I want to preach in that building. Because my father used to go to Cuba at one time and preach there in the prisons and the streets and the houses before we ever had a victory outreach there. And he used to tell me, son, tell Pastor Sonny and Nikki that we need victory outreach in Cuba. One day we're going to be there. You watch and see. Oh, I'm sure he's in the balconies of heaven right now saying, oh, I knew it. I knew one day. I'm thoughtful about what God is doing around the world. I spoke with Pastor Felix from there, and he's in from one of the cities there in Holland. And me and him were partnering with India at one time. We were going to begin to embark on the India churches. And then Pastor Sonny shifted me over to Central America, to El Salvador and those areas in Guatemala. And so I never went to India, but he's been going all these years. We had one church there, and the pastor had a heart attack. He had preached in our church about 7 months before that. He went home, and he was doing his business. He used to be a heroin addict, and he was reaching dope fiends in India, man, in Madras, India. And he was reaching, and he had a heart attack and died. So his wife took over the church for a while, and then they began to raise up disciples. And all of a sudden, before you know it, we have a church in Bombay. And we have a church over here in this city. And I just found out now that out of one church now in India, we have 6 brand new churches in India. In New Delhi, which is the northern biggest city of India, we see that right there in New Delhi, you know that it's one of the most persecuted places on earth for Christians? The Hindus there persecute them, sometimes even worse than in some of the Muslim countries. I'm not kidding you. It's crazy there. But yet, there's a victory outreach smack dab in the middle of New Delhi, reaching drug addicts and families who are hurting. You're part of something powerful. I was talking to him about that. I was so excited. And I can't even say enough about Panama, man. You heard, you already saw it. God is doing something there so powerful and in Africa. And oh, how do you believe God wants to do something powerful right here in Albuquerque, New Mexico? God wants to do something powerful here in the state of New Mexico. God wants to do something powerful in our nation. How do you believe that we can get back, this country can get back to the place where we need to be at, be with Jesus Christ? Listen, how is it that we can fill up football stadiums for 12, 16 weeks? 17, 18 weeks, we can fill up football stadiums with 100,000 people, 50,000 people, 90,000 people paying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just to eat. That's not even including to get in. And yet we can't fill up churches in America. How many don't believe that God's about to do something powerful? You've seen how we expand and how we move forward. We're some part of something big. And we're beginning to grow. Locally and regionally, this ministry is growing around the world. There's an excitement. It's a good time to be part of a movement of God. There's expectation in the air. Jesus was telling the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, he was saying, look, the fields are ripe for harvest. Look at all the hurting people. Everywhere you go, there's somebody lost. Everywhere you go, there's somebody hurting. Everywhere you go, there's somebody addicted. Everywhere you go, he says, it's ready to go. But there's not enough workers. There's not enough laborers. There's not enough people that have a compassion. The Bible says that as he looked at the crowd, he was moved with compassion. Do the crowds move you with compassion, or are y'all just worried about yourself? But we planting UTCs all over the world. We got 2 in the UTC right now. John and Cisco are right now getting trained as we speak. We got MTC, the very first missionary training center that has been established now right there in Whittier, California. Man, I'm telling you right now, we're growing in leaps and bounds. And the new UTC is going to be in Holland now, in Amsterdam. Wow, Africa. Europe, Mexico, Central America, so we can feed Latin America, East Coast and Chicago, West Coast and East Los. Listen, I'm talking downtown Los Angeles right there. And then, oh, I want you to know God's not done yet. You know why God's expanding us? Because there's a big need. And if there's a big need, God's going to reach more people. People are going to get excited. People are going to get turned on about preaching to other people. People are going to get excited about reaching other hurting people. So we got to make room. Somebody say, make room. Somebody shout it out. Make some room in this house. Huh? There's no way that we can do it by ourselves. We need each other. We need you. That's why we say united we can. There's so much need around the world. Think about united we can, how it fuels what we do. The more united we can, dollars we have, the more facilities we can open, the more vans we can buy, the more things we can do, the more ranches we can build, the more victory homes we can raise up, the more dope fiends will get saved, the more crack addicts will get saved, the more heroin addicts will get saved, the more prostitutes will become pastors' wives instead of selling their body out in the street. I'm telling you something right now, when God starts moving like that, people begin to notice. People begin to say, wait a minute, what's going on over there at Victory Outreach? Let me tell you what's going on. God has anointed our ministry to reach the treasures out of darkness in the places that people don't think can be reached, the most unlikely places. We can't do anything on our own agenda. It's through you that God wants to work. It's through you. Is that me? Yeah, you. And you can't do, don't ever think that, well, I can't do nothing. Well, that's right, you can't do nothing. That's why we noticed we got oil and we anointed these guys up here. Because without the anointing, Team Desley can't do reach the youth. They need the anointing of God. Pat and Shell can't step in the role they want to step in to help us. They can't do it on their knowledge and on their longevity of being around us all this time. They need the anointing. I can't do what I need to do. Barb and I, we can't do it without the anointing. Pastor Joe does not walk and crack open new prison doors and walk in and say, I've been in prison ministry 30 years. I'm here. He can't do that. He's got to come off his knees under the anointing and walk into the jail with the anointing and watch what God does. Same thing goes around the globe. Don't you freak out. Don't you trip out. Say, how would I do it? Listen, it's not you. Huh? It's God. He's the one who will fuel you. You can do it if you're on God's agenda. I want to speak to some people today that say, you know what, I'm tired of doing things the way I do them all the time. My own agenda, always on my own thing. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The reason I don't be too committed is because they want me to do this and they want me to do that. They say, nobody wants you to do nothing. God wants you to do something. The time you begin to say in your heart, I want to be used by God, the devil will try to convince you not to. Huh? Somebody ought to shout today. Somebody ought to shout to say, I want to be used by the Lord. I want to know my purpose. Listen, is there a more sad thing in life for a person to grow old and spend 70, 80, 90 years on this earth and never have a fulfilled purpose in their life? Come on, somebody. If you want your purpose, search it. Search it. Search it out. Somebody shout out, I want to be used by God. I want to know what God wants from me. And I want to say yes to God. Come on, shout it out. I want to say yes to God. See, we're on God's agenda. Huh? Come on, I wish somebody would shout it out like they really want to be used by God. I want to be used by the Lord. I want God to use my life. Because when you say, God, use me. Lord Jesus Christ, use me. That means you're saying, I don't want me to be in charge no more. I don't want my agenda at the top of the paper. I want more of you and less of me. We sing the song, we come to the altars, more of you and less of me. But then we go back to the same old grind. More of me and less of you. Come on, shout it out. Say, I want your increase in my life. I want expectation to rule in my heart. Expectation that you want to do something great. See, when you finally get to the point in your life, when you get to the point in your life where you begin to say stuff like, you know what? I don't want my own agenda no more. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the blind see. I want to see hurting people come to the Lord in brokenness. When you get to that point in your life where you begin to say stuff like, I am sick and tired of the same old, same old. I want to be used mightily by God. I want to be used by God. Listen, when you get to that point, you're going to start seeing that. You're going to have expectation in your life. When you finally say, enough's enough, man. This sickness has me down too hard. Enough's enough. This job's got me tied down. Enough's enough, man. Listen, I've been religious too long. I'm ready to get in the fight. I'm ready to jump in like I heard it said. God's looking for some people to get in the fight. That's the place you need to be at. You see, a man or a woman who has surrendered their will to the Lord can begin to expect God's anointing to flow through them. We have a powerful and a very precious vision in Victory Outreach. It's so easy sometimes to lose sight when you've been around a while, when you think you know everything. It's easy to lose sight when you don't take care of your eyes. Let me give you a couple of points, 3 points real quick. We've had a long service and I wanted to give that. I haven't preached in my church in three weeks, man. It's been 3 weeks, Pastor. Danny Lara spoke. Then Pat spoke. Then Mark spoke. I'm like, give me the mic. All day Sunday. Tonight, everybody say tonight. Family life flow. Tonight. I'll be here at 5. Huh? So there's some certain things we must do to take care of our vision. I don't know, but I went to the eye doctor the other day. I hadn't been to the eye doctor in 2.5 years. You know, they give you the text, the eye doctor texts you, your eye appointment is way past due. And you got to take care of your eyes, man. I can't see that far. I can read up here, but I can't see far, so I need glasses. I can't drive without them. So I got over there, and they dilated my eyes. They didn't tell me they were going to dilate my eyes, and I forgot about the procedure. You need to get somebody to drive you. So I called Brother Anthony. I said, Anthony, what are you doing right now? He goes, what's up? I go, we were going to go someplace. I go, I need you to come for me. So Savannah had to get in the vehicle and bring him to me like that because I was clouded. My eyes were clouded. You know why he did that? Sometimes the Lord will allow you to be a little clouded for a while so you can hunger to see again. Some of you are clouded. You're clouded. You don't see the vision clearly. You're too worried about your problems and too worried about your circumstances, too worried about yourself. What your own agenda, what you want. Well, I'm in the home, but I'm not part of this. I got 301 days. When I get out, I'm not going to be in the ministry. I'm going to go to my probation officer, and I'm going to say, hey, I completed the 365 days. I got my certificate. Now give me my get-out-of-jail-free card. I got news for you, 301. About day 260, you're going to get shandoed. You're going to find yourself at the altar called dancing. You're going to say, oh, my God, what am I into now? See, sometimes you're clouded, man. You get clouded. So they had me all clouded. I was like that. What's crazy is I couldn't see nothing, but I could see my phone. That's a whole different Bible study. We need to talk about that, too. Because that phone and you. Some of you need rehab for your phone. You know what I'm talking about. Let's say that for another Sunday. Amen. That's Sunday kind of love right there. Sunday kind of love. We'll bring that out, all right? So, but there's some certain things. So I had to go and they open them up. They put the stuff in there. They checked me out. And he goes, okay, your prescription got better. I said, yeah. Am I getting healed? And I remembered that 2.5 years ago when I went to the eye doctor, they told me the same thing. Your prescription's getting better. And I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. My eyes are getting healed. My body's regenerating. And then I got all excited about the miracles. She says, well, it's because when you get older, when you have the kind of vision you have, your eyes just get better. I said, all right. So this new doctor, Dr. Montoya, right? Joe's the name? So I go, hey, listen. I go, man, so what's up with my eyes? He goes, man, your prescription got better. I go, so is it a miracle? He goes, well, your eyes start getting better as you get older. I said, all right. See, the more you're in this thing, the longer you're in this thing, your eyes should get better. But sometimes it don't happen like that. Sometimes your eyes don't get better. Sometimes you need some extra incentive. Sometimes you need a little thicker glass. Sometimes you need a better prescription. For some of you, you might need a better prescription. But let me share a couple things real quick, some certain things that we must take care of for our vision. Number one is we must guard our vision. How many guard your eyes? You know, your eyelashes guard, right? They guard it. So same thing with your eyebrows. They guard stuff getting in your eyes. That's what they're for. If you ever realize what, if you've ever shaved off your eyebrows and then things got in there a while, you'll say, oh, no wonder. So you got to guard your vision, man. You got to guard it. Listen, our eyes are precious. Ask somebody who's went blind that saw before. Now, Stevie Wonder may not be able to tell you because he's never been able to see. He's been blind all his life. He was born blind. But you ask somebody who's went blind, and you'll see how important your eyes are. Our vision is precious. The vision Jesus Christ gave the church is precious. We have to guard it. The vision God gave Victory Outreach is the great commission to reach the hurting people of the world. We have to guard it. We can't just take it for granted and take it lightly. It's very important. He's entrusted it to us. I still wake up in the morning and say, I can't believe that the Lord God, knowing my past, has entrusted me with this ministry. My goodness. We've been entrusted with a powerful and precious. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to put it on the screen. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21 in the English Standard Version says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, that couldn't be. It doesn't. My equilibrium does not adjust enough to understand how in the world. This is by faith. See that what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Start getting so much knowledge, you begin to swerve from your faith. That's the way the New Living Translation says. You stray from what is. See, a lot of people, the reason why a lot of people are hearing the vision and then one day they're not is because they swerve from the, they start getting knowledge. Okay, well, you know, It's about reaching people, man. That's all you got to know. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, says, and of this gospel, the word of God, I was appointed a herald as an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering like I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him into that day. What you heard from me as the pattern or the model or the trail for you is, listen, he goes, what I've done that for you, what I've deposited in you, what I've given you, the pattern I've showed you with faith in love in Jesus Christ, guard the good deposit, Timothy. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Ghost who lives inside of you. He said, Timothy, I'm about to go home to heaven. I'll be watching from the balconies. So I want you to know, whatever you go through, whatever you don't get your vision clouded. You keep your vision straight. Go to the eye doctor. Put your glasses on. Put contacts in your eyes. Put them, do whatever you gotta do so you can see clearly. Whatever I've modeled for you, don't you dare lose your sight. Guard this vision, he says. Guard the vision. So we gotta guard what's been entrusted to us, with our families. I guard my grandkids. We guard the children. Why? Because they're precious. We gotta take this vision and we've gotta. Those youth, Devin, Leslie, they're precious. Guard them. I charge you to guard them. See, we must guard our faith, because it's our faith in Jesus Christ that allows us to operate in this great vision that we have. Our vision lines up to, you know, if you ever take a really good just evaluation of what Victory Outreach does, you'll see that we are so much in line with the gospel and what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be a social club on Sundays. We're supposed to be a people that come and get the word of God inside of us so we can use all week so that we might reach the hurting, the lost, the broken. Amen? The sick. Our vision is winning the lost. It's the great commission that Jesus gave the disciples. So if we lose sight of our vision, we lose sight of souls. If we lose sight of our vision, we lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing, man. You see, if you stay close to Jesus, if you stay close to him, then the vision is easy. But if you steer from God and you have no prayer life and you're just whatever and you think you can do it with just your knowledge, I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll get cloudy real fast. It can't be done in the carnality of your knowledge and your carnality of your longevity and your experience. You need the Holy Ghost. You need God. We need God. We can't do anything without him. How do we guard it? We value it. So many people don't value what we have. So many people come to me, Pastor, I got your back, man. I'm part of this ministry. I've got it right here. And you see them right there, up and down and right there. And then all of a sudden you don't see them no more. And you wonder, you know what it is? It's not so much they're bad people. They're good people. I love them. Those that are not with us, I love them. You know what it is? Is they lost sight of why they were here. They lost sight of when they slid under the door at the home. They lost sight. They lost that when they got the vision out of Mighty Men of Valor and God began to raise them up. They got to preach. They lost sight of something and they got lost. That's all. It's happened to many, many people. It happens. It's part of life. But all you got to do is go to the eye doctor, brother, sister, get some new glasses, get some new vision and begin to see, you know what? My vision should be first on Christ. And if it is there, the vision is easy. Huh? What about kids when you buy them a gift? They're all excited. They take care of it for a little while, and then all of a sudden, before you know, it's broken over in the corner. You know why? Because they don't value it. Let's value what we got. Amen. A lot of people haven't captured it. They haven't appreciated it. They haven't understood it. They haven't worked for it. When you work for something, you value it. My granddaughter just bought a brand new car. She saved up $3,000. She was able to put a big old $2,500 down payment. Her parents signed for her. She got a brand new car, but she paid for that thing. She's paying for every. And you know what? That car's clean. I think if I would have been in the position, or one of us been in the position to buy her a car and just give her a car, I don't know if it'd be that clean. I don't know if she'd be like, you know, putting the right gas in there. If there wouldn't be French fries everywhere. Remember the old McDonald's on French fries in your nose? Well, they would have French fries in her cup, in the seats, and all that stuff. You know what I mean? No, her clean smells good. Why? Because she values it. Why? Because she worked for it. Some of you may not have worked too hard for the vision, so maybe that's why you might not. You be cloudy on why you don't value it. Oh, I don't value the vision. What about, why are we talking about Africa? Oh, I'm going to tell you why we're talking about Africa. Because out of Africa, there's coming a great revival. Out of Africa, God's going to do something great. Let me run quick. Number two, the first thing was, is that we would guard the vision. Second thing, and I don't have time, so we need to internalize the vision. Paul said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision in Acts chapter 26 and 19. And he could declare this because it was inside of him. He didn't just get an encounter on a Sunday. He didn't just get an encounter when he got saved, but he stayed an encounter every single day of his life, every week until they put him to his death. He went out still like a champion, proclaiming the herald of Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of people can't fulfill the vision because they haven't internalized it. They swerve from it because it's not inside. It's only right here. And as soon as problems come, it moves from right there and they're gone out of there. Listen, let the gospel of Jesus Christ be right here. Pastor Sonny, our founder, has always taught us, man, stay close to God through prayer. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. Prayer, servanthood. You know, when you're serving, there's something about serving, man. It keeps you grounded. You know how you can tell when you're a servant? You know how? When you're treated like one. That's how you tell your real motive. Oh, do they know who I am? I've been to Vetti. I got 60 credits in Vetti in our Bible school. I don't do that. You know? Jesus taught us to wash people's feet. See, Jesus did what was necessary, not convenient. Some of you would just do what's necessary. Some of you would just do something that's convenient for you. You got to do what's necessary. Amen? His mission is our mission. Remember the story of the good Samaritan? Remember that story? Jesus, listen, I don't got time to preach it, but he knew this woman would be there at that well. He went to the well on purpose. He was looking for workers, for evangelists, for future leaders. He was motivated by hurting people, and we should be motivated by hurting people too. Jesus was motivated by this Samaritan woman because she had problems. She had issues, man. She had been married how many times? So many times. She couldn't keep a marriage. She was all messed up. But one day she had an encounter with Christ. She was thirsty for some water, and he says, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst for again. And what happened to her? The Bible says God used her to reach the multitudes of Samaritans. God knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing when he reached her. Jesus knew what he was doing when he reached you. He knew exactly. This morning I saw in the paper four faces of the Sindicato Nuevo México, S&M prison gang, going to court for whatever crimes are. And I looked at them and I looked in their eyes, and one of them was named Daniel Sanchez. And I looked in there and my heart began to break and said, how can we reach these four guys? We reached Art Blajos. Why can't we reach them? God knows exactly what our issues are. He knows what your issues are here this morning. He knows exactly what you're dealing with, your addictions, your strongholds. If you'll just give God a chance, if you'll give us a chance to disciple you, to ask us, how did you do it, man? How did you get out of doing that? How did you get your family together? Let us teach you. Get to the life flow. Get to these women's discipleship every Monday in February, right? Come on, ladies. You know you got a lot of issues. Always going through a bunch of stuff. Let the ladies teach you. Guys, you act like you don't got no business because I'm good. No, you're not good. You're cloudy, man. You're still burning inside with something. Still hungry for it. You can still taste it. You fight it every day. Some of you have been set free, but some of you still taste that crack. Some of you still taste that Shiva, like heroin. Let us help you, man. We can help you. We've been there. We got the anointing on us. We know that's our expertise. If I was a good electrician and you needed an electrician at your house, wouldn't you call on me to come and fix things? Well, guess what? I may not know how to do electricity. In fact, I'll probably give myself an afro if I stick my finger inside there. But I'll mess myself up. I don't know how. First thing about it, I don't want to know anything about it. But I'll tell you something right now. What I do know is I know how to teach a man how to be free. I know how to teach a man how to be a husband, how to be a father. Because that's what I've been doing for the last 41 years. And I did a horrible job the first 10 years, but I made it my business to learn how to be a husband and a father. And I can teach you how. But I can't teach you how if you only go from Sunday to Sunday. I never see you, never talk to you. So, well, Pastor, you're a hard man to get a hold of. Nah, not really. Not really. I had a guy call me. We had a dear beloved brother, and we come to the keyboard because I'm ready to close here in a few minutes, but we're going to do something special, so don't leave. Just give me a couple more minutes. Can I get a couple more minutes? I ain't preaching 3 weeks. Give me a couple more minutes. Can I? I promise you, next week, man, it'll be shorter. I won't be preaching. Pastor Tom will be preaching, but. This, about 1993, there was a group of guys that came from Los Angeles to come and help us sell tickets for some crusades and some big dramas we were doing at the Tingley Coliseum, at the Lobo Stadium, and the old Duke Stadium, which is now the Isotopes. And these guys came in, bunches of them, but three of them decided they wanted to stay in Albuquerque. I called them the Three Musketeers. One of them was John Dominguez, the other one was Preston, and the other one was a guy by the name of Ronnie Rodriguez. Ronnie Rodriguez got restored from a backslidden condition and gave his life to Jesus and gave his heart to God in such a way that God used him. So much that I sent him to be a director in Las Cruces, and during the time that there was transition of pastors, and he helped keep the church together. It gave him a lot of experience because later on he would go on to pastor a great church there in Victoria, Ontario, California. Through a series of things that happened, he had a tragic death in his family. His young daughter was tragically killed. It hurt him, his heart. Him and his wife were never the same. They ended up getting a divorce. And Ronnie Rodriguez spiraled out for a little bit. One day he called me and says, Pastor, I know what God's called me to do, but I'm struggling, man. I said, let me teach you, man. Let me show you how to get back, man. Come on. It was okay. And so he had a great job, worked in the county for 10 years. But then he got sick about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And 3 nights ago, they found him. His mom found him. She had 4 days, had nobody heard from him. She went to the house and found him. He had died. He had liver exploded. He was been so sick, his heart. So one of the guys, one of the three musketeers called me. John called me up. Hey, pastor, he called me to the office. So I told him, give my number. He called me. We talked for a long time the other night. He goes, pastor, those days in the 90s were some of the greatest days of my life. I had nothing. I was lost. I was so messed up. And you guys restored us. We became somebody. I now have a daughter, 19. I have a good job, a beautiful home. I'm in church. But I was so lost. He goes, and Ronnie too, and Preston has a beautiful job, beautiful family in Santa Fe. And all of us got changed there. I just want you to know, we're grateful. All of us. Ronnie was grateful for you. And he called about funeral arrangements. He thought I would know. I said, John, thank you, man. Thank you for all that you did, because God used us, man. We all were used by God heavily. And he said, I want to thank you for being available. Because what you taught me is what I do now. I spent a lot of time with those guys in those 90s. We traveled together. We did dramas together. We did a lot of work together. Where are the next stories going to be built? You have issues. Let us help you with them so you can talk about these issues in 20 years from now. Let your story be told. Every one of us, if you internalize the vision of Christ, the vision of reaching hurting people, treasures, it'll stay inside there. Lastly, we must invest in the vision. We've got to invest in the vision. That's why United Buchanan is so heavy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go right to it. Is that we have a lot of covenant partners that are United Buchanan members in our church. But we have a lot of people that are not, for whatever reason. Then we have a lot of people that have fallen off and just, listen, I want to be a global-minded church in a local church, men, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to be just an Albuquerque church. I want my arms to reach all the way to Africa, all the way to Panama, all the way to Argentina, all the way to Brazil, all the way to Canada, all the way to London, England. Listen, I want my arms to be wide open. How about you? But we may not be able to go to those places, but we can send our dollar. A dollar a day, a simple dollar a day makes you a covenant partner. 30 bucks a month. Think about Starbucks. Starbucks, it costs you no less than $7, $8, $10. You're by yourself. If you pay for somebody else, two or three people, when you go there, it's $14, $18. You get those stars. You get a free drink every once in a while after 125 stars. You play the game on there and you buy a tea and you buy a croissant and you buy that, you get another star. And you know how you are. Some of you want to get more stars. That's cool, man. I'm glad you're blessed to be able to do that. That's the whole vision. Our vision is you be blessed. Be blessed. But what about the hurting people around the world? I mean, some of you hear that cat. There's a little commercial on cats. Save a cat, a kitten, a kitty. And that the song is like, you cry, what do I give? What do I sign up? And you sign up for it. You give to the cats. Hey, awesome. More power to you, man. Save a dog, save a cat, save the whales, save birds, whatever. That's your vision, okay. But don't tell me that if you can do that, you can't save a life. Of a young boy, young girl that maybe will raise up and take the whole country for Jesus. Be the next Nikki Cruz, next Sonny Argonzoni, next Billy Graham, next Martin Luther King Jr. Come on, somebody. We got to invest in our future. We have to invest. And the way you do that is simply become a United Buchanan member. Dollar a day, $1 a day. It's just, you just automatically pick, recurring. You sign up for recurring, comes out of your checking account, $30, like nothing. You don't have to even worry about it. That's what we do. Me and Sister Barbara are getting ready to go to a new level by faith. My goal is to be diamond. But in the near future, I'm going to be platinum because I'm tired of being where I'm at. I've been where I'm at too long. It's time to go to the next level. So some of you have been a United Buchanan member for 12 years, 14 years, same old dollar a day, wearing the same old pin. Come on. Let's go to the next level. Let's step up. Amen? Let's step it up. So a couple of things. Some of you, for the very first time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to become a United Buchanan member and be part of the vision. And when they say Albuquerque, man, what's going on in Albuquerque? We're all those United Buchanan members. Because we believe in the global vision, Pastor Sonny. We believe in it. Amen? So how many of you, for the very first time, even the home, some of you get money from home, you can become a United Buchanan member. But I want to ask you, for the very first time, you sign up for United Buchanan. You're not a United Buchanan member. I want you just to raise your hand right now and say, I want to be part of it. See a hand there. Where else? See the hand in the back? Come on, ushers, where you at? Just keep your hand up. Give me United Becam. Anybody else? I want to start becoming a United Becam member starting today. And from now on, every month, I'll give my $1 a day. Right there. There's one in the back there as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then secondly, some of you used to be United Becam members. There's one in the back right there. You used to be United Becam member and you kind of fell off a little bit. You feel guilty. Feel all condemned. Don't be condemned. Jesus never came to condemn us. He came to just to bring us convictions. As a conviction, then don't be condemned. If you've struggled with it, hey, come on. They're not the only one that has. Just get back on track. That's all I'm asking you to do. As your pastor, as a visionary for the world, I want you to get back on track and begin to be that United Becam member, that solid member. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I've been a solid. I am solid, but I feel conviction to go to the next level. I want to go to the next level. I want to go from being just a covenant partner to being a silver member, a gold member, platinum member. If that's you, I want you to get an envelope right there. I know some of you are in the position to be able to do that. You can do that. You can jump to the next level. There's more armed. Anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to impact the world through Albuquerque, New Mexico? Not just all the bigger cities and all the big churches, but how many know Albuquerque can make a difference too? Amen. They might call us the poorest state, one of the poorest states, but how many know we got the biggest hearts and the most generosity in our hearts? Amen. How many believe that? Okay, this is what I'm going to do lastly. I believe everybody here this morning, everyone here this morning can give something special. Even if you're an United Becam member or if you're not, say, I'm not ready to join in yet, but I want to give a special offering. Then I want you to take an envelope real quickly. Okay, everybody should get one. There should be even in the home, you guys got some soda money. Just give up those sodas for this week, amen? Just give a special offering. It may be $7, maybe $5, maybe 20, maybe 100, whatever it is. But let's everybody give something special on this day, amen? I don't see everybody with envelopes. Can I get my envelope over here? I need one here. Praise the Lord. Come on, everybody get an envelope. Give me a pen. Praise the Lord. And we're just going to give a special offering. Why? Because we're what? We're investing in the vision. Oh, you guys were all excited earlier when we talked about hurting people and reaching people and treasures. Well, this is one of the ways that we do it. Amen. We take our finances and we invest in people. We invest in the harvest. We believe that our ministry is going to be one of the end time ministries that is going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Take that offering, would you? Take it. I'm investing. I want to invest. This money's not for our church. These envelopes will not go to our church. We won't even open them. We're taking these and we FedEx them straight to corporate office. This is not for our Albuquerque church. Our tithes and offerings earlier, that's an offering that takes care of this church. This is for the international movement of United We Can, so we can reach people for Jesus. Amen. You got your envelope? Let me see it. Wave it like this. Got a few of you. Something special. Amen. Anybody else says I can do something special? You can do it right now. You can get that envelope right now and say, you know what, Pastor? I understand now. I was a little cloudy. I couldn't see too much. But I see that you have a global vision. Even you are new, you're probably thinking, man, these people have a small little church here in Albuquerque, but they want to do big things. Why? I want to be part of something big. Amen. I want to do something big, and I hope you want to be part of something big too. Amen. So I want you to take that offering right now. I want you to take it. And I want you to just right there, all every United We Can member, every covenant partner, every silver or gold or platinum or diamond member that is part of United We Can, I want you right there where you're at. Just to bow your heads. Come on, bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to guard this vision you've given us. We want to internalize it. But what a shame it would be if we don't invest in it. If we don't invest in the next generation. If we don't invest in our nation, in South America, Central America, Africa, Europe, all the continents you've called us to. I only pray today, God, that you'd open up the windows of heaven for all those that are sowing, all those that are giving, all those that are being committed, our faithful covenant partners, every month, like clockwork, giving, my God, to the global vision of Victory Outreach, the global vision that is doing the Great Commission, reaching lost people. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless your people. And I bless this offering. Bless this special United We Can offering, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. As you give it, I want to I want to still speak to you for a moment because I'm just about done. I'm going to make an altar call this morning. For those of you who say, okay, Pastor, I got it. I'll give. But I want you to understand that don't be afraid of not knowing enough. Don't be afraid of not having all that you think you need, being adequate for the vision to reach people. If God is with you, God will equip you. I'm going to make an altar call this morning for people, first of all, to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Secondly, after you've had an encounter with Christ, I want to challenge people to respond to the harvest. We put it out there. We have put it out there, man. I said, look at the need for workers. I want to make a challenge for those of you who say, I'll work for Jesus. I'll be a worker, man. I'll reach people at my job, my neighbors, my family. I'll be that one that they were singing about earlier. I want to challenge everyone to guard the vision, to internalize it, to invest in it, to stretch, to see the need and become one of those workers for the harvest. A leader, a future leader. Say, I'm committed to getting trained at Family Life Flow. I'm committed to getting trained in discipleship. Whatever it takes, I want to reach hurting people. Teach me how, and I'll do it. This is what I want to do. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. If you need Jesus in your life, if you're challenged this morning to step up to the plate and join the forces of the army of the Lord to say, I want to be one of those workers that will be approved by God and that will give my heart and my life to the service of God. I'm tired of being on my own agenda. I don't want to be doing what my own thing is, but I want more of God. I want increase in my life. I want to see the hand of God move in my life. Come on, from all over this place. I want to invite you to come and find your place. Find your purpose. Find the anointing that God has for you. Let Jesus Christ fill you with the vision that He has for your life. I believe He has a vision just for you, a purpose just for you, that you'll let Him get a hold of you. He'll use your life. He'll use you for His glory and for His honor from all over this place. Come on, give your heart to Jesus Christ today. Give your life for the work of the ministry. Tell Him, Lord, if you can use anybody, use my life. I make a stand here today, Father. Yes.